Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to this afternoon's study session from May City Council for Monday, December 3rd, 2012. We'd like to excuse Councilmember Glover for the first part of the meeting. I think he's supposed to be here in just a few minutes. The first item on the agenda is to review the items for tonight's regular City Council meeting. Page 2, items 2 through 3C. Councilmember Higgins.
Just a clerical error or correction. Item 3B is in District 6, not District 5, as noted on the agenda. Thank you.
Can that stay on the agenda?
Yes, okay. It can.
Items 4A and 4B. Items 4C through 4E. Councilmember Higgins?
In item 4D, Mayor, my question is, since Vulcan pulled out of a contract we had with them, is there any penalties on leaving a contract early? Because I'm, you know, obviously you have more staff time, there's more stuff going on. I just wondered.
We do have the ability, Councilmember, but we
haven't really discussed whether or not we want to take that option at this point.
Okay.
And we do.
And because we do have another contract we can go to.
Yes.
So you could, but the harm is they just don't get our business and we go to somebody else. So
okay.
If it had been a contract and we didn't have another contract and there was some project that was not going to get completed and there were going to be some kind of damage.
Or if we had to rebid it and it left us in.
Yeah, so there, okay. I think we maybe would be have a different, you know, attitude if we didn't have this other vendor to go to.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Councilmember Richens?
The insurance already?
Yes, we did. That was 4A.
I had a hard time getting up. I had talked to the mayor previously about that and didn't get a chance to bring that up. 4A. I'm really uncomfortable with anything more than a 3-year contract without rebidding it, especially in insurance services because it's changing so often. And I would prefer not to grant a 2-year extension, but instead rebid our brokerage services to allow for a little competition in that avenue, if my colleagues would concur.
Let me ask you this, because basically this becomes a 5-year contract, the way that I read it.
Yeah, and the insurance market seems to be changing so quickly.
What else do we do in service? Is this a standard, or is this just in this area where we have a 3-year contract? And I mean, unless someone's really messing up, it seems like they would get a 2-year extension, which basically makes it a 5-year contract.
That is one of the items that we would like to have a conversation about in the future, because it is more work on us. But our general format is a 3-year plus a 2-year renewal for all contracts. Yes, unless there's a reason to go a different term.
Yeah, I just think with all the changes that are happening in the insurance market and the, you know, I think a little competition for this particular contract would be healthy at this point.
Councilmember Fenter.
And I completely agree. In the 3 years that we've just been through, or, you know, going into the recession and all the challenges and we're moving out of it's just a whole different time. You know, these last 3 years have been quite changing for all businesses. So I think I'm hoping we have that big picture discussion sometime and say all of these 3 years, let's rethink these things before we just do automatic 2-year term, you know, renewals. So,
and we do today. It's based on whether or not we've been happy with the service they've been providing. You know, the outside market issue is something we can take into account as well.
So let me just ask a question, though, Mayor and Council. The majority of this cost, yes, of the $335,000 is actually in the surety bond. Is that bid out each year? Is that procured each year by the broker? Or does he procure one bond for the entire 2-year period?
It's bidded out each year, so every year they do the bond.
We're not talking about insurance.
Insurance services,
that's
per se.
Correct.
I mean, the broker is the person who goes out. I know that we have a lot of local brokers that would love to compete for that business, and it seems by giving somebody a 5-year lock on that business that we are freezing out some of the competition that really should be in that market.
I just wanted to share with the council that the actual consulting services portion of this is the $25,000.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we get that.
All right.
I think it was the concept, and I know as I was looking at this, And you look at a three-year with a two-year extension, and it seems like it's just sort of a matter of practice that we extend for 2 years, unless I don't know what the situation would be to terminate and not to not extend it 3 years. Basically, they're five-year contracts. And so, what Councilman Richardson is saying is that the policy we want to maintain, where we basically are given five-year contract. That seems like a long contract for any service. Maybe it's not. Maybe you've looked at it and said, no, that's where we get the best things. But then why, again, would we go 3 year with an out, basically, is what we're saying.
We do have instances where, you know, what we do, how we do it is changing. So the at the end of the three-year term, we decide that the original contract isn't still meeting our needs. Or price increases may be a factor. If we feel that we are at a point where we need to go out into the market again, rather than looking at the CPI or other indicators. So there are a lot of contracts that we do end at the end of the 3 years and rebid. Again, I would say the easy majority is that, yes, we do renew them for the second, for the two-year renewal period. Yeah. But it does give us that, without having to terminate a contract for convenience, it gives us that break where we can sit there and evaluate whether or not it's more advantageous to renew or rebid.
Councilman Fender.
Well, the only, I don't know if it's a counterpoint, the point I would make is that's a professional staff viewpoint. If you look at it from a council member's standpoint, these contracts survive entire terms of council members that will never have the scrutiny and the feedback from the community. You know, we're the balance between professional staff and the business and the community areas. And so when you do 5 years, they outlive the entire terms of council members. And I've seen them where they've lasted even, you know, there's been two-year extensions. And so all of a sudden you start to outlive double terms. And so when we were looking at procurement and professional services and all that, that was one of the things that stood out to me is these frequencies seem to survive well in the long-term professional staff lifetimes. But in the elected leaders, representatives of the communities, they definitely can span, outlive those lifespans. And so that's why I'm always, you know, I think it's a great idea to start rethinking how we do those and get some scrutiny and some review from the electeds. So,
can I go back to something you said, where you said you're looking at change? What did you say where you said you're looking at changing this?
We are... With the implementation of the financial system as well as resource constraints, we would like to look at the term of our standard contract term to come up with something that that works probably a little better than the 3+2. You know, with our existing resources, you know, we'd like to be looking at the 5-year term. However, I hear from the council that they have some other concerns. So I think it would be a good opportunity for us to have a conversation with the committee, perhaps the Audit and Finance Committee, to feel out where council is and move forward with some potential changes in that.
Well, because Mr. Queen said that, I mean, he wants to look at something besides 3 and 2, this is a great place to start. So maybe we can cut our teeth on redoing this one and kind of go from there. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
We need to have a bond.
We need a pipe.
So if we don't do, do you have
yeah,
an
what happens
one,
if we don't
you
do
an option of 1 year renewal on this one?
I would say yes, we could do a 1 year renewal.
If we don't do a 1 year
need...
renewal, then we reset the whole thing and it would become a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
And we do need to have this bond in place for January 1st.
You hustle then, because don't bring it to me this late if in timely hands from the opportunity to change something. That is something that we have pushed back on over and over, and it needs to. We can't do. I know sometimes it happens, but I'm not going to have my hands tied. So you guys are just going to have to hustle it then and get something out, because we, you know, it's. I understand it's the holidays and stuff, but we need to get some competition into some of these professional contracts. That was the principle that got put in place several months ago. And I don't see it playing itself out on an agenda yet. We're just rolling renewals. We're tagging on Tucson's contract and Maricopa County's contract. And I'm just not seeing a lot of this stuff even get bid. So, you know, I remember Mayor Smith saying, hey, we're going to be good to our local businesses, and we expect them to be good back to us. But when does that start? When are we going to start?
So if we have to have this, if we have to have the surety bond placed by January 1st, what you're saying is that we're sort of stuck with this for at least the foreseeable future. If we did not renew this at this time, then we'd have to get the surety bond from somewhere. Somebody would have to do that through some brokerage agreement, right?
Well, I'm wondering if we couldn't approve this to do the bond and then rebid the contract, begin the rebid process, and terminate the existing contract early next year.
Why don't you figure out if you can do that and you can come back to us next week, maybe? We do have one more meeting.
I think we can do
that. Is that okay, Councilman Richards?
Yeah.
Councilman Finter?
So could we put this on continuance then for our next meeting, 4A?
Yeah, let's do that till next week, okay?
Okay.
So 4A will be continued until December 10th.
All right? Thank you.
Okay. Did I already go through 4C and through 4E? Yeah, Councilman Higgins?
I have a couple questions on item 4E. And I can start talking while you start walking if you'd like. I just don't understand. I don't know what this rehab project is. It seems like a big project. And then in the staff report, we talk about handing. Oh, we're going to rehab meters, and then we're going to turn them over to private ownership, and then they're responsible, and how do we make sure they actually do what they're supposed to do?
Right. Mayor, Councilwoman Higgins, let me try to explain. These are projects where we go in and basically get rid of old, large meter vaults throughout the city.
What's a meter vault, please?
I'm sorry. It's a very large underground vault that has a very large meter assembly inside of it. Historically, these were built underground, and it certainly is pleasanter to have them underground in terms of aesthetics, but it also raises safety and confined space issues with our employees. It's also relatively inefficient. Anytime you have confined space entry, you know, you have to do the air quality testing, and it's just very inefficient in terms of labor. So we've had a project ongoing for 3-4 years now, I want to say. We do about 30 of these major rehabilitations a year. That is handled through a CIP project through the engineering department. But then the Water Resources Department goes back and actually purchases the backflow device that is now required and that will be associated with that particular meter. So the meter will continue to be the city's property, but the backflow device that's behind the meter becomes the property, becomes the property of the property owner, basically. Does that make sense?
And is that normal? I mean, so we're buying the backflow meters, but
they take ownership of it. And the trade-off there is that oftentimes when we bring these vaults up above ground, we need to get a property easement. So in exchange for the property easement, we basically purchase the backflow device. They tend to be expensive. On like a 4-inch meter, you're talking probably $10,000. So we kind of, it's a trade-off we do with the property owner. But then after that, after the project is complete, the maintenance and repair of the backflow assembly is, you know, belongs with the property owner.
Awesome. Okay, great. Thanks.
Sure.
I do have a question on the next one. So if you want to
just
stay there just for fun.
I mean, this is just maybe a dumb question, but if you have a vault that's basically taking up space just underground. When you go up above, isn't it taking up the same amount of space as just in the open?
Yeah, it does. It takes up about the same amount of space. It's just not a confined space entry issue anymore. It's more of it's a safety issue for our employees.
No, I get that, but I'm wondering what happens to the vault. Do we fill it in and
yes,
give the property back?
Right.
They now can plant a shrub there?
Right, so we basically get rid of the vault entirely, and the new meter assembly is often located very close to where the old vault was, but not always.
All right.
So, yeah.
Councilor Richards?
What's our plan for screening these devices?
Screening?
Yeah, because they end up in the front of...
You mean in terms of aesthetics.
Constructed in they're in the entryway of a condo project,
yeah,
and they're pretty big.
And
I've got some complaints about, the city put this big
I know.
Piece of infrastructure.
Yeah, we put them underground. We put them underground partially to get them out of view.
They're not very artistic.
Councilmember Richens, you're correct. They are not.
Do we have a policy in place for either screening them ourselves or allowing the screening of the devices by the property owner?
We do. Because of some of the complaints that we've received, we now go in when we design these and actually plan appropriate screening, like, you know, rose bushes or other types of vegetation. Okay. We also work with the property owners very carefully to put it in the best place possible aesthetically.
Okay. Hence another reason why we buy it, because we're not only, and that's what I was getting at, we're basically creating a, how do you want to say it?
A non-artistic amenity.
A non-artistic. we're uglifying the property.
Uglifying.
Yeah.
Like mine
best. Yeah, I prefer non-artistic, but yeah,
okay.
That's right.
I got you. All righty. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Councilmember Higgins.
Oh, no, I just, the next item, I hate for her to have to get up and, okay. And go and run.
Oh, so is this 4F?
Yes, please.
Yes.
4F.
I just wanted to point out that you used the word huge in a staff report, which I think would have been much more descriptive to say 46% savings, because you guys are saving 46% on your electricity costs, and I just think that's something to highlight.
Oh, sure.
So I just want to throw that out there. Not huge, 46%, massive.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a really good deal. We're very excited to move forward with the purchase at this time.
So I'm very excited, and I just wanted to congratulate you.
Thank you.
So thank you. But big descriptive word, 46%. I like it better.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, since there's nothing else of interest on that page, we'll go on to the next one. 5A. Gee, no one even got my poor attentive humor. Accepting ordinance, City Council acknowledging receipt and report it. Now, I have an issue with basically how this is worded, only in the sense of this. It's a technical issue, but I think I need to point it out. And first of all, let's go into what Ms. Spinner informed us of today. Since our charter basically does not allow us, it says we are the only ones that really, through ordinance, establish salaries, there's an inherent conflict involved there. We can't escape it. We can't get away from that. And so to satisfy technical reasons for state law to even be able to act upon this, we have to formally declare that conflict exists. Is that accurate?
That's correct, Mayor.
So that conflict exists for every one of us, because no matter what we do here, it will affect every one of us.
Correct, Mayor.
Okay.
But the law also says if the conflict, if the majority of the council has the same conflict, you can declare the conflict on the record, and then all of you can go forward and vote, because otherwise the government would not be able to move forward.
Function.
So
right.
It's called the
and
rule of
and since we are the only ones that can establish our own salaries, we can't get around this conflict. So we declare the conflict merely to put it on the record to satisfy state law.
Correct, Mayor.
Is that understood by everybody?
Yes.
Okay, so everyone understands we all have a conflict on this. And we'll repeat this again to make sure there's no misunderstanding, to make sure we recognize or we conform with the requirements of state law. The other thing is that I think that the description of this is somewhat not totally inaccurate, but it really does not explain exactly what we are doing. We established an ordinance last summer. We approved an ordinance which established an independent compensation independent commission on compensation. Within that ordinance, it charged that committee with coming up with recommendations, or no recommendations. It did not tell them exactly what they had to do, but it did state that they were to, when they were finished, they were to present a report to council. I'm looking at you, Ms. Spinner, to make sure I explain this correctly.
That's correct.
Then it is our duty as a council is either to accept that report and the recommendations contained within, or reject that report in its entirety.
Correct.
We cannot amend the report. We can't amend the report. We can neither amend the recommendations.
Correct.
So we accept the report and the recommendations that are included within the report.
Correct.
Now those recommendations might be do nothing, might be increase, might be change this for that, it might be a decrease. We don't know, but whatever is in that report, we either accept or reject.
Correct.
Now in this particular situation, the report from the independent committee recommended an increase in compensation.
Correct.
Okay, so That's in essence what we're doing. We're accepting or rejecting the report, and that report does include an increase, a proposal to increase salaries, which I think states a little bit different in this, because it almost makes it seem like we are increasing our salary. And I have gotten some calls from people who say why they didn't understand the process. And I think to understand what the process is doing. Now, the end result, yes, is that the salaries will be changed, and the reimbursements have been proposed to be changed, to be increased in some instances, and not increased in other instances. But we are accepting or rejecting that report. Is that accurate?
Yes, but you're also accepting or rejecting the recommendations.
The recommendations, yes.
Correct.
You're right. The report and the recommendations contained there within. Okay. Councilmember Richens. I mean, is that clear? I just wanted to clarify that because this was a little confusing to some people when they read it. Councilmember Richens.
I first wanted to thank the commission, who was put in a very difficult job. And I appreciate the chamber raising the issue and the commission, that those that volunteered serve. I think I saw Kate back in the back, our chairperson, and they did a great job wrestling with some very difficult issues. And I'm not in opposition to this item, but I have a question about implementation. Mr. Brady, this isn't something we budgeted for in this fiscal year. My recommendation would be that we implement this July 1st, so we have time to work this into the budget, because this all of a sudden, you know, I haven't totally run all the numbers, but all of a sudden to add this to the budget in this fiscal year makes me a little bit nervous. So can we implement this recommendation on July 1st instead of immediately?
Certainly, Mayor and Councilor Richens, that would be consistent with, you know, putting in the budget process, and so we can anticipate, you know, we can make those adjustments as we go through the budget. So, sir, we could implement it on July 1st as we would any new items related to the new fiscal year.
Is there any issue with that, Ms. Spinner?
The Arizona Constitution requires that the ordinance be effective at the beginning of a term.
Right.
If you, within the terms of the ordinance, say that the salary adjustment is going to be implemented July, so that the decision is made, everyone's salaries is changing at the same time, I think that complies with the Arizona Constitution. So the ordinance has to be adopted and effective at the beginning of the new term, but if the terms in the ordinance say that the salary adjustment is going to be implemented July 1st, that complies with the Constitution.
Okay.
So yes, you can.
Yeah, I mean, that would just be, that I'd feel more comfortable with that. I don't like, you know, kind of this off-budget thing getting thrown in. I appreciate the work that everybody did, but I'd feel more comfortable working it into the budget and making sure that we can, you know, cover this appropriately.
Would you, are you proposing an amendment or another motion that would
usually, I mean, not a lot of times do we make motions down here,
right?
But, you know, up in the meeting upstairs, yeah, I would certainly move that the implementation date happen at the beginning of the fiscal year.
Now, is that
requires a reintroduction?
Yeah.
Well, we are introducing tonight, so it would require an amendment to the ordinance. So
you can make the changes here in the study session if you want. We would have to read those changes into the record upstairs because we are introducing today. So if the council agrees, we can make the word changes.
We can make the word change either place, as long as by the time we adjourn the meeting tonight, the final words are in place, right?
Correct.
Well, I would move such an amendment to this process.
I guess.
Go ahead.
I was making some notes, so I guess I want to see if the notes comply with what your intent is, and if the council would turn to the draft ordinance. What I would propose, that section one, it currently says the city council acknowledges receipt of the report and recommendations submitted by the Independent Commission on Compensation for elected officials dated November 8th, 2012. You add a sentence: the city council further adopts the recommendations of the commission. And then section two say that on July 1st, 2013 and thereafter, the compensation of the offices of mayor and council be as follows. Is that consistent with what you had intended?
Right. And that applies to items 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Correct. That would apply to all the recommendations, would be implemented effective July 1st. Mayor, I know you weren't comfortable with the language. I have some proposed notes here that we can change the title of the ordinance as well, if you would like, for it to read, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Mesa, Maricopa County, Arizona, adopting the recommendations of the Independent Commission on Compensation for Elected Officials, which increases the compensation of the offices of Mayor and City Council.
That's fine. I think we just need to be very clear as to what we're doing.
Okay.
And the ordinance should state that also, because I want to respect the process that we set up. And I know it may sound technical or we may be wordsmithing, but I think it's important that we keep in mind what actually is happening, and what we're doing is either accept, well, if we pass this, we'll accept the report. If we turn it down, we will have rejected the report and the recommendations therein. I mean, it's an either or.
Correct.
So as long as that title, I feel comfortable with that.
Okay. Is this the way the council prefers that the ordinance be introduced?
Yeah. Let's do that now. Once again, we're not voting on the actual ordinance. Let's do two things. You want to make your amendment now, or do you want to make it up to? Okay. Mine's simple. The one that you've put out is simply a wording change, but his. Councilman Ridgen is actually an amendment to the ordinance with the implementation. So we have a motion that came from Councilman Ridgen. Do we have a second on that? I'll go ahead and second it then, so at least we can have a vote. Because I tend to agree with the implementation and getting it in line with the budget period. Okay? So, yeah, Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Well, I'm going to oppose the amendment. I think this is late in the game, and it's, you know, it sounds nice, but you know, we've talked, the commission has and staff and council have talked about this issue for months and months and months. We have various items throughout the budget year where we make changes, that where money comes from contingency funds. In the whole scheme of things in the city budget, this is a relatively small amount that would take place only for 6 months in the budget, and it has nice symbolism, but I think the reality is it doesn't create any fiscal difficulties for us. We have these decisions that come up virtually every month in terms of council making a decision on something to take out of contingency funds, such as when we changed the community development block grant money to general fund money. There was a purpose behind it. I think the commission did good work, and it makes more sense to start. This is the third salary change in 45 years. It makes sense to start it at the beginning of the term, which is the way all the other salary changes have been done in the past. So I oppose the amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember. Any other comments on the amendment? Okay. All in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay.
Nay. Nay.
Vote is 5-2, two ayes and five nays, with Council Member Richens and the mayor voting nay. The motion is defeated.
Yay.
Yay. You voted yay.
I voted yay. Oh, yay. I'm sorry. Two yays, five nays, with Council Member Richens and the mayor voting yay. The motion is defeated.
Mayor, okay. I still have a question on the title.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what language you want for the introduced ordinance as it is now, or do you want it changed?
Does anyone have a problem with just change the rewording of the ordinance? Okay, we have nods all around on that. Okay? All right. Now, once again, we're not taking a final vote on this tonight. This is simply the introduction. The final vote will be taken next week, and the only change will be into the wording of the heading. Councilmember Fenter?
Well, and again, this is on consent for introduction tonight, right?
Right.
So we'll
right.
just it'll be captured there.
Yes. So, okay. Yes. Okay. So yeah. So unless someone takes it off, it will be on consent, with the wording as amended as Ms. Spinner explained to us. Okay. All right. 6A, 6B. 7A through 8C. And 8D. Okay. All righty. The next item is to acknowledge receipt of minutes. Now, once again, there is an independent commission on compensation. We're just accepting the minutes, not the report. We have a motion from the Vice Mayor, a second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Reports on meetings or conferences attended?
You want to get that next week?
Yeah, let's get that Thursday. Okay. Mr. Brady.
Tomorrow, Tuesday, December 4th at 6:30 is a Building Stronger Neighborhoods event for District 3 at Roosevelt Elementary School. So invite everyone out to that. And then this Saturday will be a household hazardous waste collection at the Center Street facility, north on Center, from 8 a.m. to noon. So just remind everybody about that.
Okay. Anything else? Have motion adjourned, Councilmember Higgins. Second, Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.